Blog Talk Radio.
Calling blitz, baby, it's calling blitz, baby, it's calling blitz.
savage. Chicken's gonna get weekly, split the session. I'm going all in, even though I don't know what the flow has been. I've been baroque for so long, the cards be so strong. You got my stock rising just from grinding this whole song. Sure, for a fool, no, I want to invest. The one question needs help, get something up or just a max out of
infinite density explodes into a thousand tomorrows. Since then, mankind has ventured to fathom the visible cosmos.
All right. Hey, we're going to pause this real quickly. Hey, everybody, it's me. It's Nick Hausman. We're getting ready to go live with the Raw Rebellion. I'm in studio here with Ross Berman in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. It really is beautiful here this time around. And we are going to have the Raw Rebellion. The phone lines are open, but guess what? All four lines already full. I guess not a big surprise, but if throughout the night you want to try to get in on the fun here, you want to try to get in on the phone lines every time you hear a caller fall off, then try to call back in. That number 646 716-534-4. With that, though, we're going to play one song, then we're going to go live. Just one song here tonight. I know that we've already got a bunch of people trying to get through, and I want to try to get to this as quickly as possible. I will say we're going to try to fill up the live stream right now. If you want to help the show, please take the link to the show from WrestleZone. Share it out on Twitter. Share it out on Facebook. Let folks know that the show is going on right now, and we'll go live here again. Right after this track, we're going to play a song here by Kenny Pickett. This song is called The Future, Running Out of... Actually, no, what? Screw it. We'll play something a little bit more peppy than that. Let's play... What do I want to hear? We'll play Appalachie Don. This is Anthem of an Outlaw. And then after this song, on the other side of it, we're going to go live here with the Raw Rebellion. Again, remember, share out on Twitter and Facebook. Tag WrestleZone, WrestleZone Radio, me and Ross, and we will talk to you here on the other side of this track. Oh, wait, what did I do? I screwed it up. No, I didn't. I did it right. There it is.
Little bit of moonshine, keep the country kicking in the sea. dreaming up a good time mixed with some Appalachian swamp with a little bit of moonshine. Keep that country kicking in the sticks in the meantime. And by the morning, it's going to be all right.
You've been humbled, and it's time for the Raw Rebellion.
Live here on WrestleZone Radio, available on iTunes. Go subscribe for free to WrestleZone Radio on iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating. Leave a very nice comment. Downvote negative comment. Top upvote positive comment. We're going to have a good time here tonight on the Raw Rebellion. And as always, I'm joined here for the Raw Rebellion by my cohort in crime. He is the Folk City Hustler, Boss Berman Ross. Ross Berman.
Good to be here after what was a very good Raw. I mean, a lot of intense in-ring action, emotional intense in-ring action tonight on Raw.
Yes, yeah, it was a very, I mean, you say emotional intense action. Right there at the end, I think that main event hooked people. I thought the Jericho-Zayn segment hooked people. I thought people were in awe of that Nia Jax spear on Alicia Fox, but that was really, I mean, that was about the long and the short of it here for me on 3 hours of Monday Night Raw.
I don't know. The opener with Bayley, Dana Brooke, and Sasha Banks was not a bad match. I mean, don't get me wrong. Was it a complete, you know, 5-star classic? No, but it was a good match. It was a good opener. And,
yeah,
of course, Bo Dallas looked stronger than he's looked in years tonight. That was also some pretty hard-hitting action.
I don't know what's going on with Bo. I agree. Bo looked very strong. I thought the women's match, like you said, was good. I thought, you know, it was nice that they're really trying to have the two separate women's division, the Raw and the SmackDown division, show some competition. I will say that I was not cool with them doing the powerbomb superplex spot on Monday Night Raw the day after the women had just done that exact same spot at Backlash the night before. And I remember seeing it and being like, I just saw this. Not that there's, I mean, anything. I mean, it's just some moves that, you know, you want to keep them a little bit special, and I don't know. That irked me a little bit.
I agree.
But, and then, of course, there was the finish with Sasha getting pinned by, or Sasha pinning Bayley, and it looked like a double pin.
Exactly. I think they're going to revisit that next week. I think we're looking at a longer story than just Clash of Champions.
I had several people hit me up and say that, and I also had a couple people hit me up and say, I look like the guy that Bo Dallas squashed tonight. I guess I got to go back and find what this guy looks like. But I've received no less than 3 people telling me that they thought that I got squashed by Bo Dallas tonight on Monday Night Raw. One of which, Bill Apter, was like, oh, I've met this guy. I thought he was you, and here he is getting squashed.
Well, if Bill Apter says it, then it has to be true.
I guess that's true. All right, well, we have the phone lines open here. It is the Raw Rebellion. We love chatting with you guys all about the world of professional wrestling, and especially the Raw universe. The number to call into here tonight, 646-716-5344. Again, the number to call into, 646-716-5344. We're going to be taking calls here about the next hour or so. If you call in and you immediately get hung up on it, it's because we have 4 people on hold. That's the limit. As soon as you hear somebody call in and they roll off, then that's probably a good time to try to get back in line or get here onto the program here tonight. And I think at the end of the show tonight, Ross, and I will try to keep it hard to about an hour, we should actually see who tweeted using the hashtag Raw Rebellion.
I'm actually going through them right now.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, we never do that. I was thinking about that because obviously the point, I'm not doing the daily anymore. News,
yep.
Right? News was out there that I'm not doing the daily anymore because I'm trying to refocus and make the shows better. Now that I've had, like, minutes to think, that's something I thought of, where I was like, it's time to refocus on the Raw Rebellion. We should have a mailbag at the end of the show.
I mean, we've got a hashtag.
We do. It's prominent. It's in the headline that I put out every Monday. So if you want to use the hashtag Raw Rebellion to leave a thought at the end of the show, we'll work in some of your tweets there. And, of course, take your calls. Now, before we get to it here and we start taking calls, I want to also say on Twitter, we have a poll question right now. And tonight's poll question at WrestleZone.com is asking you all, what was the best part of Raw tonight? Now, I listed the 3 notes that I thought were really the arc of the show. And with over 250 votes in, like, 10 minutes, that's been less of people casting votes. 56% say main event pretty much blew everything else out of the water. You agree with that, Ross?
I completely agree with that. Not only was it a great match, but the way it ended really elevated the U.S. title to feeling like a main event title once again. You had Rusev showing up, not only costing Roman Reigns a Universal title match, but Lana showed up carrying the title. Much as she did back when Rusev was the guy that beat up John Cena before it was a hashtag.
Sure.
And so this was really a return to form for Rusev, which, especially after last night's 20-minute classic between The Miz and Dolph Ziggler,
yeah.
IC and U.S. titles are now in that main event pantheon of titles that are relevant.
So does Reigns take this belt finally from Rusev? I mean, it seems like, you know, Reigns was on the offensive when this last came to a head. I think that Rusev has got to come back here, and, you know, he humbled Roman Reigns at the end of Raw tonight with the accolade. I see him continuing to humble Roman Reigns. I want to see a strong Rusev going forward.
I think we're going to see a very strong Rusev going forward, even if it's just to give Roman Reigns that, you know, John Cena 2015 treatment.
And, of course, now we are on the two-week build, the Clash of Champions. Is that wild?
It's bizarre. The rhythms are all over the place now.
Because, like, can they not build to the pay-per-view while I guess they started it, right? They announced the main event last week, but...
Yeah. And they announced, like, 8 matches tonight. I don't know how many they actually announced.
Oh,
it seemed like they just kept filling up the card as the night went on.
That's right, because now we have Jericho Zane, we have the Sasha Banks Charlotte match.
Yep, we have Club versus New Day. We have Reigns versus Rusev, most likely. We have Nia Jax, Alicia Fox, most likely.
My new favorite feud on Raw, Jinder Mahal and Jack Swagger.
The pre-show right there.
On the day after 9/11, All-American Jack Swagger waging war against he comes in peace.
Yep.
You know, the Indian assassin, you know, don't hinder Jinder.
Yep.
Jinder Mahal.
He won tonight.
He did win, and I thought he was going to win because
I called it, because
you pointed out, they gave Jinder an entrance, right? He was allowed to walk out to his music, and what's Jack Swagger doing? At least, you know, he gets beat. A little fire there, you know. So anyway, I want to hear about everybody's thoughts on everything we've just talked about.
And we learned that Swagger's contract is up.
Oh, that's right. Yes. It's no secret, Jack Swagger, that your Monday Night Raw contract is coming up.
That we're all hearing for the first time.
It was a secret to me. I had not heard that about Jack Swagger. I guess maybe he can call Heath Slater and say, what do I do if I become a free agent?
You know? There you go.
All right, let's open some phone lines here. I believe I know who our first caller is here tonight. This is from the 210 area code.
Is this the world's sexiest cow? Shut up, Alvin. Sexiest cowboy from San Antonio, Texas, where I am the one who everybody knows, and our radio hosts don't quit their shows, brother.
Okay, that's negative. You're throwing shade here, sexy cowboy. I just need to tell
you.
I am,
and I want to know what in the hell, because this is news to me. I thought my phone may have been messing up. I thought, maybe Hausman got, like, strep throat or something. Here I come. Listen to the Raw Rebellion. Call him in. As I do every week, diligently. I don't know why, but I do. And then what do I hear? You're quitting the daily.
What?
You're quitting the daily. For what? Give me one good reason.
We're making it into the WrestleZone Weekly now. So every Wednesday you'll be able to hear me on the WrestleZone Weekly with a similar cast of characters. And, you know, I do Bischoff's show. I've got another show I'm working on right now. I do 124.
No. Let me ask one more question. So what about this whole – so no more – the Friday show is no longer happening.
No, Callum is just going to be repurposed, you know, much like old Russian military equipment.
He's very versatile that way.
I'm cool with anything that gets him out of my ear holes. So that's a good.
Okay.
And
– okay.
I mean, okay, fine. I guess. I mean, as long as I'm not here. So, but there's no more call-ins on Friday, and the Wednesday one is not going to be call-in, correct?
No, I am not going to make the Wednesday show a call-in show. This will be your only chance, sexy cowboy, to get into my ear holes and, you know, fill it with your brand of punditry, if we can call it that.
Why wouldn't you call it that? Are you now insinuating that I am less than you? Is that what you're insinuating? That just because I'm from Texas?
Well,
so now Nicole Hausman hates Texas. Everybody who's from Texas out there, Nicole Hausman just said he hates Texas. He's worse than Donald Trump because he hates Texas.
I am a proud Houston Texan. We won. I don't know if you saw that or not, the Houston Texans. I believe we beat the Bears on the opening contest of the season. So I'm actually really proud. But anyway,
yes,
Texas Cowboy,
listen here. Let me tell you something about that. They cheated. All right? They cheated. They cheated. They deflated the balls. That's what they did. They took a page out of Tom Brady's book, and that's how they won.
All right.
How did the Cowboys do yesterday?
Cowboys won.
Hey,
as well.
No, how did when is the last time the Bears won a Super Bowl? When's the last time the Giants won anything?
Hey,
all right, Mr. New
right.
York, pretty boy. All right, they never won nothing.
Okay, we got to get back on track here, Sexy Cowboy. This is a wrestling show. We're talking about Monday Night Raw. What do you want to put?
Well, I mean, I thought they're
about?
Similar. I mean, there's still like guys like tackling each other. I mean, Roman Reigns is finishing move with a spear, and he was a football player.
That's true. Yeah. There is some crossover there. Yeah, I apologize. You are correct, Sexy Cowboy.
I know I'm correct. I'm always correct. And and you can't forget about the greatest wrestler of all time, the Alpha Male, Monty Brown, and the Pounce.
Okay.
Also the most devastating maneuver.
Is this how boring tonight's Raw was that we're talking about Marcus Corvan right now?
That's exactly right. And hashtag Jim Duggan finished all his matches with a 3-point Santos. I mean, Mojo Rawley, I mean, the NFL is really crossing over. All right, into professional wrestling. Moose.
I have to get back on track, Sexy Cowboy. I don't know where this conversation has gone.
Is Moose not a wrestler? Is Moose not a wrestler?
He's not on Raw.
Well, I mean, that's because he's in a better company, doing better things.
Well, but I mean, at the same time, I think this is just real proof that Heath Slater has been, what, SmackDown exclusive for less than 24 hours, maybe just about 24 hours now, and Raw is already at the point where we're talking about Marcus Corvan, Moose, literally anything except for Raw, despite the fact that the matches were great.
You know, what WWE should do with Heath Slater? You know what they ought to do? They should, instead of, you know, like, they like still have, you know how they have that warehouse, like, full of all the old WWE stuff with the Hell in a Cell there and stuff like that? Well, I wonder if the Lex Express is there. And if the Lex Express is there, now that Heath Slater is the tag team champions with Rhino, I think that Heath Slater should take his whole cast of seven kids, Roscoe and all, his fake wife, Beulah McGillicuddy, and he should take Rhino, and they can paint over the red, white, and blue stuff, and then they could spray paint on the side the White Trash Express, and they could travel across country doing that.
Sure, yeah, White Trash Express. I feel like that's actually come up before here on one of the rebellions or something like that. So I don't know.
Well,
anyway,
they should.
This has been a meandering conversation about nothing. Do you have
any meandering? If you can spell meandering, I will talk about Raw. Spell meandering.
M-E-A-N-D-E-R-E-N.
Well, no, that was incorrect. So now. The Von Erichs are the best wrestlers in the world, and if you don't watch Ross and Marshall, then you're a horrible person.
All right, we're dropping you there, Sexy Cowboy. I do appreciate the enthusiasm and the self-existential realization of even he does not know why he's calling in every Monday night after Raw anymore.
Yeah,
you know?
It's been an interesting odyssey with Sexy Cowboy.
I almost feel like we should, like, start the clock. You have 60 seconds, Cowboy, you know, but then it's like I feel like I have to do that for everybody.
Yeah.
You know? All right, well, the Cowboys gone. A phone line is opened up, 646-716-5344. We'll take one more caller here, and then I want to throw another topic out there for a conversation. We'll shoot on over to the 240 area code, 240. Welcome to the Rebellion. What's your name? Where are you from?
Lupin from Maryland.
Lupin. Welcome back to the show, Lupin.
Man, Raw was pretty boring tonight.
Yeah, that seems to be the general. I mean, some people, I think, got won over by that main event, and they forgot that there was, like, another 2.5 hours before that actually occurred as well.
No, I'll give it. The main event was really good. Like, right when Seth and Kevin Owens started, like, that promo to Rusev coming back at the end, that was, like, gold. That was really good.
What do you think Mick Foley's talking to Seth Rollins about in the back right now?
I have no idea, but that what really confuses me because, you know, Seth is still pretty heelish right now, even though everybody says, oh, he turned face. But no, he didn't.
Well, and here's something interesting about that is Bischoff on the show this past week, he started talking about how he thought that they were positioning Kevin Owens to be a babyface. And I was like, I don't think that's the case. It seems like they're going to try to position Rollins to be the babyface. But what do I know? Because I'm with you there. Rollins is very heelish. And the fans, I mean, in the match between KO and Roman Reigns, pretty decisively behind Kevin Owens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And how. Here's another piece of the puzzle. When Finn Balor, you know, went out and they had to find out a new champion, they had to retool whatever their main event picture was going to be. I'm sure that there was a lot of longer-term storylines they had in place. I almost feel like they didn't know what they wanted to do for, like, the 3 weeks after. They're like, we'll do corporate champ. We'll have him with Hunter. Maybe we won't. We'll put him with Mick. We don't really know what we want to do with KO. It's just been really sporadic booking with this guy. I don't know what that's going to do to his character.
I do like that they're keeping everybody true to character and allowing things to just happen organically. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but what is he organically? Is Kevin Owens a good guy or a bad guy?
He's a bad guy that we like to cheer for.
Okay. Cool heel. Okay, cool heel. And what did you think of the decision to have Rusev come back and interfere in that main event? I mean, Ross, that was your prediction. You thought that Rusev was going to come back.
Well, it wasn't my prediction as much as I was saying, where is Rusev? He still has unfinished business with this supposed number one contender.
Right, yeah.
I don't want to take full credit for the prediction.
And I think they swerved us because I was still under the impression he was on his honeymoon. I tried to stay off the dirt sheets, you know, before Ross, so I don't get spoiled or anything like that. But I thought he was still on his honeymoon.
I didn't think they'd give him like a full month for his honeymoon. As much as they, crap as they've given them, that couple, they still need to be making some money.
That's why I thought they would give him a month, because they're like, we're real sorry.
It's WWE. They work on Christmas.
They're like, you know, considering the lawsuits we may come having our way in the Paige Del Rio situation, we'd really like you to say that as a couple, we took great care of you, right? We gave you extra time for your honeymoon. You know, we certainly didn't tell you if you didn't break up that one of you would lose your job. We would never, ever do that. So, anyway, Lupin, I meandered a bit there as well. What else on the show caught your attention?
You know, I actually have a question. Like, are you still behind Sasha Banks as you once were, especially after tonight?
Why would you say that?
Because we have Bayley, and Bayley was positioned to go after Charlotte, and then last week Sasha reinserted herself in a way, you know, that fake retirement speech, and that didn't really win people over.
Yeah. Ross?
I don't know if it was supposed to win people over. I mean, if Bayley is now on the Raw roster, she's going to be the baby face of the entire women's division. There is no outfacing Bayley, and Sasha Banks is better as a heel. We're seeing a transition, I think, into the Sasha Banks heel role.
And here's what's really funny about this is because Sasha had to drop the belt like almost the exact same time as Finn Balor, right? Like maybe a week later or whatever. And Bayley only got called up because they thought that Sasha wasn't going to be around and that she'd feud with Charlotte. And then what I think that the medics were like, oop, our bad. We read the report wrong. Sasha's fine. Right. So now
this is your back. Oh, never. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So now you have Bayley in the fold, kind of like you have Kevin Owens in this fold, but they don't really know how they want to treat these characters that they've forced into those positions. And that's why we got this kind of ambiguous, screwy booking. I will also say this, Lupin, what do you think about the fact that we have Kevin Owens and AJ Styles as champs right now, internet darlings, and everyone is, you know, everyone's online right now, and I hate to generalize, like Hillary Clinton, basket of deplorables, right? But everyone is like, these guys deserve it, right? Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, couldn't believe they'd ever be champions. As if these guys, like, valiantly won these in a respectful, like, honorable way. These guys both cheated to take these titles. I mean, to the layman, these guys are sniveling bad guys. These aren't like dominant, impressive champions. These are weaselly heels we've got right now, and two world-class journeyman wrestlers.
Well, AJ Styles won his a little cleaner than Kevin Owens.
What are you talking about? He squared kicked him in the head.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But then he used his finisher.
Doesn't matter. Oh. It was a dick kick. It was a dick kick.
You're right. Yeah, if you go to the finisher. Well, then what? Kevin Owens had Triple H come out and then lay.
Yep,
he didn't have him.
Yeah, Triple H's finisher.
It was a no DQ match. So what's dirty about that?
And to his credit, I will say it does feel like AJ maybe did win his. At least he won it on his own. He didn't have outside help. You know, Kevin Owens needed, you know, Papa AJ to come in there.
Okay, so AJ Styles is Edge, whereas Kevin Owens is some other, you know.
And by the way, I do want to just start calling Triple H Papa H, because it's just a really fun really fun nickname, I feel like, for Triple H. Papa H.
Papa H.
I don't know. I just think.
I mean, I feel that's what the NXT people call him.
Papa H. Dad, you are my father. We're all carny vagrants. We all left our families to do this. We all have father complexes. This is getting too real. Lupin, we're gonna wrap it up with you here. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up here on the show tonight?
No, no. Like I said, it was just those few bright spots in a otherwise pretty boring 3 hours.
Yes. Thank you very much, Lupin. Yes, it was a very it was a slow. And here's the thing I thought was interesting about this, and the fact that it was such a slow Raw, was that they're like, you know, they had Backlash last night. A lot of praise for Backlash. People seem to like Backlash. Right?
I liked Backlash.
A lot of people like it was short. You had about a 2.5 hour long pay per view, which I think for SmackDown, 2 hour pay per views, I would be okay with that.
It honestly felt like the old In Your House events, where it was definitely significant, but it wasn't SummerSlam, and it didn't need to be. It didn't try to be, and it definitely stood on its own.
They had 3 champions crowned last night, you know, and I thought coming out of that, like maybe Raw the last couple of weeks they've been playing down so that SmackDown could shine at Backlash, right? We'll play Raw down a little bit. We'll slow the pacing down so SmackDown can build some buzz up, and then once Backlash is done, we're going to fire back up Raw. We're going to play down SmackDown a little bit, give AJ some room, and so we can build the Clash of Champions. I could not have been more wrong. This is just the way it's going to be. You are going to have a long, plotting show with two, maybe three central storylines and a lot of other stuff.
Yeah. Well, next week we get the Cruiserweights, so there could be some more life being injected. I don't know. I feel like while this Raw was a slog, it wasn't a slog in the way that other Raws have been a slog. It felt more just overstuffed because, as we mentioned, Zayn on the highlight reel, great segment. Women's match, pretty good. It was a kind of a slow opening segment. But other than that, I think this was like a B-.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was fading there. And I mean, the women's start was different and interesting. One thing I also wanted to bring up here before we jump to our next caller is the role of Mick Foley. This man is going to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Is he the sheriff? Is he the good guy who's out to make sure everything is just? Or is he just micromanaging, you know? We're kind of annoying.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of got like a Michael Scott vibe going on. He just has no control over this, and he's trying to be like the principal from every high school movie ever.
Right,
but
yes.
He doesn't understand that these are grown men that, you know, are going to slap him in the face or whatever.
I like how Mick's like, you listen to what I say. And Seth Rollins is like, whatever, I'm going to do whatever I want. Seth Rollins,
yeah.
Like, that's awesome. Like, what a great back and forth there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about an arc. The arc of tonight's show was how can we screw with Foley more? How can we make Mick Foley just get as flustered as possible?
Yeah, all right, let's take another caller here. This one right now, we're going over to the 402 area code. 402, welcome to the Raw Rebellion. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hey, this is the Juicy Joe Bro from the Big O. I just want to say, Nick Halpin, I'm going to miss you, man. I don't want you to go. I don't want you to go. Man, don't leave.
I'm not leaving anyone. I am right here. I'm talking to you. I'm doing... I have like 4 other shows a week. I understand. I understood that there would be this wave of dismay when, I mean, you become.
Yay!
Yay!
Anyways, back to the point. 3 points actually.
3 points.
First off, holy moly, what a main event that was. And thank goodness that Roman Reigns isn't in the title picture for Clash of Champions, because man, I really want to see some Rollins versus Owens.
Yeah, I also want to see Rollins Owens. Like, heads up, who's the bad guy here to you, Rollins or Owens?
Oh, dude, that's they're both on the neck to neck to each other on heel mode.
Event picture. Why is everyone in the Raw main event picture just so unlikable? You know, like SmackDown's main event picture is opposite of that. That people are like, we like AJ Styles, and even though he's like playing this enjoyable bad guy, and you know, Dean Ambrose also has his pocket of supporters as well. I mean, we're talking about a Raw main event picture of people that are genuinely disliked, and the only one on purpose, I think, is Kevin Owens, who is playing a heel. The others are just by design.
Well, let's just think of it this way. I mean, Roman Reigns is booed 24/7. The guy is like the top face of the business, and yet he's getting booed like he's getting booed like John Cena all over again. And the same can be said for Dean Ambrose.
Isn't it kind of good that you're drawing a comparison, though, Ross? Yeah.
But could you even say that Roman Reigns is the top face of the business right now? Like, I look at the WWE locker room. I don't know if there's anyone that's the top face of WWE right now.
John Cena, for sure.
John Cena, yeah. Maybe AJ Styles.
AJ's right there.
I mean, he's achieving that historic place of having conquered the independent world at this point.
Well, and here's the thing. AJ and Dean will probably go heads up. I think the next Raw one is at Hell in a Cell before Survivor Series.
Yeah,
October 30th.
No Mercy is the next SmackDown.
Right. So I would imagine we're going to get AJ, Dean, Hell in a Cell. And then after AJ finishes up with Dean, however it may be, we're going to move into Survivor Series where we're going to get AJ Styles, John Cena again, right? And it's the rubber match. They each have a pay-per-view victory over the other, correct?
No, actually, AJ Styles won 2 singles matches. John Cena won a 6-man tag match.
Oh, John Cena's never had a singles victory over AJ.
Yep.
I thought that was...
No, he's beaten up John Cena.
All right, so, I mean, it does set up John Cena to come back and finally put this guy in his place, get that 16th world championship, right? Or... if he loses one more time to AJ, is this where we really do see the break in the John Cena character? You know, this is AJ Styles the man to break John Cena. What do you think, Juicy Joe Bro?
AJ's got a big-time role going on with 2 victories over John Cena. And wait a minute, why are we talking about SmackDown to begin with? Couldn't I just call you guys tomorrow about that?
Just ask this.
Can't save all the sweetness for Joe Jan, and I made it very clear that I would be allowing more cross-conversation between the Rebellion shows about hot topics in the world of pro wrestling. So,
okay,
very
well,
clear.
I gotta get to the other 2 points. Oh my goodness, Dana Brooks is starting to become like a Harley Quinn relationship with Charlotte. My goodness, she's just bagged on every time.
Yeah, and final point.
She's like,
point.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, yes, we agree with you. Very interesting dynamic there, but I have people on hold here, Juicy Euro. What is your final point of your 3 points?
All right. Okay, you know what? Actually, I forgot my final point, so let's just get to the quiz question.
Okay, you
okay, so who is the WWE champion from... 2005, and no, actually, the World Heavyweight Champion in 2005 that got drafted to SmackDown. That on this 2 months of
Batista.
This particular day. Yep.
Batista.
Yep, Batista. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Goodbye, everybody.
There were only 2 world champions in 2005. It was not a competitive year.
Do not bring your trifling of your reverse trivia to the show. Ross Berman will bat you down in a moment there. Batista. Wow. He's a big... do you think he ever comes back, Batista?
I really hope so, but I got to believe that now that he's making Guardians of the Galaxy money, it's going to be all if WWE can afford him.
Now, here's the thing as we talk about returns. The one thing, while we are allowed to sprinkle in other topics here, obviously CM Punk did not fare very well at UFC 203.
Lasted longer than anyone's lasted against Mickey Gall.
Dana White saying that, you know, it doesn't seem like there's going to be room for him there.
Yep.
Where do you see Punk going? I don't think the WWE is an option. Obviously, he's got this huge lawsuit, and there's a lot of bad blood there. But where do you see this guy going from here, Ross?
I mean, there are 2 options. If he's serious about the fact that he doesn't want to give up on this MMA career like he seemed to be at that promo that he cut after his loss, then it's got to be Bellator, or it's got to be some place where he can pay traditional MMA dues so that way he can find his way back into UFC as not this sort of chosen former pro wrestler that gets handed a spot. I think that with the amount of – with just the – post-match promo that he cut and that image of his beaten-up face, he can pretty much go to any wrestling company and make a crap ton of money. Not that CM Punk couldn't in the first place, but now that you've actually got that photo of him surviving that beating, I think you can make him the Brock Lesnar of Ring of Honor. Why not?
All right. Yeah, possibly. And I don't know if he'd go back to Ring of Honor or not. I don't know what his pro wrestling ambitions are. But
I don't either.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go over to the 609, area code 609. Welcome to the Raw Rebellion. What's your name? Where are you from?
Bill and Mike from New Jersey.
How did I miss this number? I apologize. Hi, Bill. Hi, Mike. How did you enjoy Monday Night Raw this evening?
Very good.
Very good. Bill. What
pretty good.
Yeah. Did you see the whole show,
what
Bill? What did you like about it?
Part of it. I saw the part about the boss. I just forgot her name. She's pretty good.
Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys were like this, though, but when they first announced Bayley and Sasha, I'm like, why are they giving this match away on Monday Night Raw? Like, I loved it, but at the same time, it's so special. You know, I didn't want it to happen until later on, and then when they brought Dana Brooke into the picture, then it made sense. Were you guys shocked, too, when they first announced Bayley Sasha one-on-one?
Ross, I mean, would you like to comment on this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still predicting them to headline WrestleMania 33, so I was shocked that they'll give that away at anything other than, like, Survivor Series or a main pay-per-view, but at the same time, I understand that we live in the post-Monday Nitro world where pay-per-view matches are shown on Raw sometimes. I mean, how many times did John Cena and CM Punk wrestle on Raw?
Right. You really think, Ross, that they'll main event WrestleMania? I hope so. I definitely see it happening on the card, though.
They're going to be in Orlando, the home of NXT, the home of really where the women's revolution started, because it started with the women's wrestling in NXT. You've got Bayley, you've got Sasha, who had what many are calling one of the matches of the year of 2015. You can have that match again at WrestleMania, and why not double down on this women's revolution they keep talking about? I mean, you watch the 24 special, and they make it seem like there is truly some feminist revolution coming to WWE. What better way than headlining WrestleMania with Bayley versus Sasha?
Exactly. Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm wondering if it'll be in a triple threat match at Clash of Champions. It might be. What do you think, Nick?
I think Clash of Champions is going to be – I think it's going to stay heads up. I think it'll be Sasha, Charlotte, and I think we're going to spin Bayley off into something else here now. I mean, I don't think that – I don't know that double pinfall was intentional or not. I feel like they would have at least –
That's what I'm wondering, too.
I think they would have at least said something on the show, but I could be wrong. We shall find out.
Also, Nick, that SmackDown women's match, you know, Backlash was really good, the six-pack challenge. And since we're going to SmackDown in Philly tomorrow, I might meet some of these women because I'm getting to the arena early. I'm going to tell them how I really enjoyed their match. A lot of times they come over and take pictures and stuff. So I'm hoping Becky comes over and takes some pics.
Bill, you were saying something?
I said I'm hoping he brings back some pictures.
Oh, yeah, I will. Don't forget to watch, Nick. It's going to be a wild, rowdy crowd in Philly tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I will.
Mike and Bill, thank you very much for calling in here tonight to the Raw Rebellion program as we talk about the world of Monday Night Raw here every Monday night. And, again, I want to remind everybody, if you're listening to the show, you're enjoying the Rebellion. We'll be back tomorrow night. Joe Jan holding down the SmackDown Rebellion. We got the NXT Rebellion, the Impact Rebellion later this week, talking about all the big shows and all the other big news stories around the world of pro wrestling, and debuting this Wednesday, noon Eastern, the new WrestleZone Weekly. And I have still not nailed down exactly what that show is going to look like, but it'll be a work in progress, and it will be me talking about pro wrestling news for a length of time. So there we go.
What more do you need?
Other people involved, the new WrestleZone Weekly show. While you're at it over on iTunes and you're subscribing to WrestleZone Radio, subscribe to Bischoff on Wrestling. This week we got part three with Hulk Hogan. And, of course, if you want to go over to your store on your phone, your iPhone store or your Android store, go download the 120 Sports app. You can find me and Justin Labar there every week doing videos for Sports Illustrated. And last but not least, if you're going to be in Indianapolis, for Clash of the Champions, or Clash of Champions. I got to stop calling it Clash of the Champions, just Clash of Champions. If you're going to be in Indianapolis for Clash of Champions, head on over to markoutmoments.com. Get your tickets for Bischoff on Wrestling live with Goldberg. It's going to be in the morning from, I believe it's 11 to 3, 10 to 2, something like that. The info is over on the website. But it's going to be Eric Bischoff, Bill Goldberg, live on stage in Indianapolis just a couple hours before WWE Clash of Champions. You can get your tickets again over at markoutmoments.com. All right, let's take some more calls here. We are going to go over to the 804 area code. 804, welcome to the Rebellion. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hey, this is Landfill from Richmond, Virginia.
Landfill from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome, Landfill. Are you filled with vintage Atari ET video games?
I wouldn't say that, but I had two things I wanted to say. I think Dana White was happy to see CM Punk get beat down at USD, and also I wanted to say that I think that Kevin Owens is doing some really good work these days, and as a champion, I think he's great. So there you have it. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling in. Wow, quick to the point. I love that. A decisive caller there. We'll do these one at a time. Do I think Dana White was happy that Punk got his ass handed to him like that? I'm going to say no. I think that as a promoter, even a, and it does sound like him and Punk have a good relationship, but as a promoter, a CM Punk victory would have led to a lot of money matches. You know, the,
even just a more competitive match would have led to at least a rematch.
Sure, yeah. Anything where he didn't just get taken down and mauled and, you know, eventually choked out. I don't think Dana White was happy about it. Do I think that him and Vince McMahon maybe, I don't know. Like, I don't know what the relationship is that Vince and Dana are building right now. Obviously, it had to be kind of weird for Punk to be in a position where he's building a fight while Brock Lesnar came back out of nowhere, and then they're showing WWE video game trailers and, you know, getting real buddy-buddy. Dana was real quick to bury Punk after that fight.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, very quick to just kind of say, not in UFC.
No. Nope.
And, you know, maybe he's doing that Carney thing of you'll never get CM Punk again in UFC until you do, but I don't think so.
I don't know what I don't know what's going through Dana White's head, but I don't think that he was happy that Punk lost that the way that he did. And in general, the way that Punk lost it also, too, I think it calls into question the judgment of Dana White that he would be the one to initiate this contract or offer with Punk, followed through on it, and this is what you get. I mean, there are guys that work their whole lives just to get one fight in UFC and take that shot. And the irony here is that on his way out, Punk was making this case about how part-timers come in, and they take all the money, and they force guys down the card that work all year to try to get their spot on the roster. And yet, here's Punk doing the exact same thing unabashedly in the UFC. It's just ripe with irony there with what Punk is doing over in the UFC. All right, we're going to take one more caller here tonight. Then we're going to jump into the social media grab bag, and we're going to wrap up the Raw Rebellion here. Let's go over to the 917 area code, 917. Welcome to the Raw Rebellion. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hello?
Hello.
Tyler from Queens. What's up, guys?
Travis from Queens. Is that what you said?
Tyler.
Tyler. All right. Tyler, welcome to the Raw Rebellion, Tyler. What did you think of Monday Night Raw tonight?
I thought it was better than the past couple of weeks. That's for sure. It didn't seem to drag along like it had in the past. But
yeah.
I just had two. What happened?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, I was just going to say two things. Like, I guess with the Cesaro and Sheamus feud, I guess it's going to go to 7 for the Clash of the Champions pay-per-view. That's just, I guess it's going to do that, because why draw it out this long? And what's going to happen with Enzo and Chaos, you guys, with this feud with these the Shining Stars? What is the end result with these guys?
Thank you very much for calling in here tonight, Tyler. So what do we think is going to happen with Enzo Cass, the Shining Stars? Good question. I am going to guess that we are going to see eventually Enzo and Cass get a